Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 97 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 157 of WrestleTopia continues. Happy Thursday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW continues. And last night was AEW Dynamite going down live from the Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. And this was a very good episode of Dynamite, which ended on a very emotional note with Mark Briscoe officially making his AEW Dynamite debut against Jay Lethal in a beautiful tribute match to Jay Briscoe, who passed away 9 days ago from a car accident. And it was a moment. I want to touch on it briefly before I dive into the main event later on in the show, in that when we hear Reach for the Sky and you see Mark come out holding both tag team titles for himself and his brother, it just hit differently. Seeing Mark by himself was a lot to take in last night. And he was amped up, revved up, ready to go, feeding off the crowd's energy. He was in a zone last night. And you can tell he wanted to do this for his brother, who would have turned 39 yesterday. And their birthdays are only a week apart. They're a year apart in age as well. So this was a heavy night, but a beautiful tribute to Jay Briscoe. And I'm glad that WarnerMedia Discovery decided to loosen their restrictions on having the Briscoes be honored this way, especially Jay. Got a beautiful tribute package that aired during the show highlighting Jay as a wrestler and ultimately a family man, a husband, a father, a brother, a friend to so many. And it was a beautiful tribute to a man that deserved so much last week. But I'm glad WMD decided to reverse course and allow Jay Briscoe to be honored properly, have Mark Briscoe on TV moving forward, and that is the way to go. Let's drop the stupidity of why they weren't on TV for something that happened well over 10 years ago, and Jay made amends for it time and time again. So here's hoping this is the start of much healing for everyone involved, and prayers go to the Briscoe family as well as the other victim that unfortunately passed away in the car accident as well. She has a family who's grieving as well. And I just want to lift up everybody in prayer this morning and to let them know that a lot of people are thinking of them as they are going through the most difficult time one can imagine. But it will get better. The healing will come. And there is a silver lining in all things, in that it will bring people closer together. And it will remind people that every day is a gift. If you need to call somebody to tell them that you love them, do so. Always make that effort to mend fences while you can, because this life is truly fleeting. As we move forward to last night's Dynamite as a whole, we kick things off with Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus Action Andretti and Ricky Starks. Really fun tag team match. Andretti and Guevara traded hops early on. They're both agile, fast, and incredibly athletic as they were trading hops for days, with Andretti wiping out Daniel Garcia with a dive on the outside. Sammy Guevara follows things up with a flip dive of his own. Goes up top for a Hurricanrana avalanche style, but Action Andretti flips out of that and lands a standing Spanish fly on Guevara for a near fall. He makes a tag to Ricky Starks, and he and Jericho go back and forth trading chops and punches. They're scrapping, they're scuffling. The fans are feeding off the energy. At one point, Jericho is going to be monkey flipped in two. The turnbuckle, Ricky's going to grab Jericho and go for his patented rope walk, posing the entire time. But Sammy Guevara springboards off the top rope and lands a cutter on Ricky Starks in a pretty great spot. From there, we got Jericho and Starks double teaming poor Starks in the ring with Action Andretti looking helplessly the entire time. But Ricky Starks is a fighter. He's resilient. He comes back and he is going to land a couple of big boosts of Guevara. He makes attack to Action Andretti again. Andretti's a fresh man, lands two back-to-back backbreakers and two neckbreakers on Jericho and Guevara, followed by dives on the outside that pops the crowd even more. At one point, we have Starks landing a DDT on Guevara while Andretti hits a springboard moonsault for two. Andretti and Guevara collide on a double cross body, and Jericho and Starks get the hot tag again. Starks lands a spear on Jericho, but in doing so, Guevara accidentally bumps into Jericho. Jericho goes for a cold breaker and Starks is going to power through, lift up Jericho, who's not a light man, by the way, and land a Liger Bomb for a very close near fall as well. Andrade gets a tag one more time, and he's going to go for a split leg of moonsault, but Jericho gets the knees up at the last minute. Guevara makes a tag, cannot complete the GTH go to hell, as Andrade delivers a springboard in Zaguri to Guevara. Jericho tries to cause trouble, but Ricky Starks yanks Jericho off the ring apron, which allows Andrade to hit a poison rana followed by a hanging net breaker for a very close near fall. At one point, Ricky Starks wipes out Jericho with the Rochambeau, and Andrade is going for the win, but unfortunately for him, Daniel Garcia lands a bat shot to the face, and Guevara lifts up. Action Andrade hits the GTH, go to hell for the 1-2-3, a much-needed victory for Jericho and Guevara after losing recently to Andrade and Ricky Starks on TV, especially in the case of Chris Jericho. And Garcia ate that loss to Andrade this past Friday on Rampage as well. And this was a very good match. Action Andrade is going to be a star. He's got the talent. Got to work on the promos a little bit, but he really has what it takes to get over. And he made an impression a few weeks ago by beating Jericho clean as a sheet. That was a shocking development on Dynamite. It happened. It was beautiful. And I am living for this push on TV that should be sustained long-term in Ricky Starks. He will be fine. He is a superstar in the making as well. The fans are vibing with his theme music. I love the little body movements by Starks as of late to really get the fans to his theme song as well. So he's going to be a player in 2023 on AEW television. And I love that for him. As we segue to the beautiful tribute to Jay Briscoe, highlighting the man, the husband, the wrestler, the friend, beautiful, beautiful tribute to the late, great Jay Briscoe. And also, on a programming note, second week in a row, first match on Dynamite, zero commercial interruptions, no picture-in-picture. I love that. Let's get back to the old school AEW basics of giving us an opening match, commercial-free, give me 20 minutes of action nonstop, and I'll be good to go for the rest of the show. Did I make that rhyme somehow? Maybe so, but I'm going to stop before I really get crazy as we move on to Darby Allin versus Buddy Matthews for the TNT Championship. And Buddy Matthews absolutely mopped the floor with Darby Allin for the first 5 minutes of this match. Knee strike off top. Sends Darby on the outside, slams him repeatedly into the barricade, very roughly and aggressively. He delivers multiple suplexes on the hardest part of the ring, you guessed it, the ring apron, to Darby Allin, goes after the injured quad of Darby as well that was taped up dating back to last week against Kushida for his third title defense in 3 weeks. From there, this is just an onslaught by Buddy Matthews, whooping that ass accordingly until Darby finds an opening by reversing a powerbomb attempt to her Karana into the railing. Matthews is able to go after the bad leg of Allin and delivering a Meteora to Allin, who was rested on the apron, and he was right between the ropes as well, which was absolutely sick. But Allin fights back with an over-the-top stunner and a coffin drop on the outside. The lights go out, and we got Malakai Black and Brody King coming out to stand by their fellow member of the House of Black. But we got Ortiz attacking Brody King from behind. He's double-teamed to Sting, hits to Sing, hits Brody King with the baseball bat, and we have Malakai Black and Ortiz fighting up the ramp as we go picture in picture. We come back from commercial break, and Matthews lands a high stack powerbomb on Allin for a very close near fall. Allin fights out of an electric chair into a poison rana, followed by a nice crucifix bomb as both men get back on their feet and trade shots back and forth until Matthews blocks a code red into a backslide, followed by a pump knee, a buckle bomb, and the stomp for a very close near fall. Darby Allin is going to fight out of a pump handle driver. Allin lands code red for a near fall. And as both men are fighting up the ropes, Allin delivers an avalanche scorpion death drop into a coffin drop with Matthews wedged between the ropes for the 1-2-3 to retain the TNT Championship. And after the match is over, Tony Schiavone, who I love, had the nerve trying to interview a worn out, tired, and beaten up Darby Allin about his four title defenses in about 4 weeks against the likes of Mike Bennett, Juice Robinson, Kushida, and now Buddy Matthews last night. And Samoa Joe wants one more crack at Darby Allin to be the true king of television. There will be a no holds barred match next week on Dynamite. Darby Allin, Samoa Joe, part 3, live in Dayton, Ohio. Should be a violent, grueling matchup with Allin standing tall, we will presume, but as always, we shall see. Next up is Jungle Hook versus Ego Ethan Page and Matt Hardy. Gotta say, I love Jungle Hook. I think they're the prettiest tag team, not named Pretty Deadly, in the tag team scene across America right now, but this match was filler. It mostly took place in picture in picture. On top of that, we have beef between Ego Ethan Page and Matt Hardy. As Ego wants to glory, he wants to pinfall in the victory. Matt defers to him one too many times. And when the match reaches its closing moment, we have Jungle Boy locking the snare trap on Ego Ethan Page. Hook yanks Matt Hardy off the ring apron to prevent the breakup of the submission, and Ego taps out a short time later. I like Jungle Hook. I think they could be a viable tag team against better opponents that can give them a meaningful run for their money in the weeks to come, as I'm not really into this firm business with Soakley, Ego, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy. It's a lot. It's very mid-cardish, and I'm not digging it right now. Hardy family office issues just roll over year after year after year, and it does get a bit tedious at some point. Next up is Bryan Danielson versus Brian Cage. And Brian Cage is trying to maim and destroy Bryan Danielson in the name of a bounty issued by AEW World Champion MJF. But Bryan Danielson's a badass. He fights back. He chops back and forth with Brian Cage, delivers his kicks in the corner. But it's all about Brian Cage targeting the left shoulder of Danielson, first with a gorilla press slam before tossing him into the corner, and Danielson lands very awkwardly on the left shoulder. Cage follows through with a release from a suplex, and he flips Danielson inside out as he lands directly on that bat shoulder once again. During picture in picture, Cage really goes after the bat left shoulder of Bryan Danielson. He goes for a shoulder breaker. He does a suplex from outside the ring into the ring, followed by a German suplex the exact same way. Danielson is going to get hung up in the corner. Cage goes for a kick and an avalanche powerbomb, but Danielson blocks that and lands a charging drop kick and a superplex of his own. Yes, kicks connect on Brian Cage as Danielson fights back. He goes for a triangle at one point, but Cage is going to power out easily. Danielson counters that into an ankle lock and a leg trap. German suplex on Cage. Cage and Danielson trade offense back and forth. Cage goes for a buckle bomb, powerbomb combination, goes for a third, but Danielson is going to roll up Brian Cage for the shock flash pin victory, and he cannot celebrate as Brian Cage is going to beat down Bryan Danielson in the name of MJF. MJF comes out to a rousing ovation at first, but then things get real squirrely when he basically antagonizes the timekeeper, telling her to stop ringing the bell. He's shoving the attendant at ringside, grabbing a steel chair to command Brian Cage to wrap the chair around the bad shoulder of Danielson, shove him into the ring post to add insult to injury. Then MJF is going to take off his jacket to beat down Danielson some more, wrap the chair around the bad shoulder, is going to pulmonize it until Konosuke Tedeschka makes a save. He scurries away, talking about the champ. He wipes out Cage with a knee strike as he helps Danielson to his feet. And I do sense very soon it will be MJF versus Konosuke Tedeschka, and that is going to be a match. An incredible match, if given time, of course. And Danielson's relentless. He has a bad shoulder, but he's not going to give up because he realizes MJF is scared of him. He realizes he can't last 60 minutes in the ring with the American Dragon, and he's going to do everything in his power to weaken him prior to the matchup. But Danielson's going to win every match there is in order to secure a spot of revolution against MJF in that Iron Man match for the AEW World Championship. MJF has a rebuttal later in the show, noting that he's got some beef with Konosuke Tedeschka. He's willing to let it slide if Tedeschka stays out of his business. As for Danielson, Danielson's coming from MJF's love, the championship, the one thing that matters to him most right now, the one thing that truly means I'm better than you and you know it. And it's something he has bled for, fought for, has needed this entire time. And he's not giving it up to Danielson. Danielson has the family life. He's won multiple championships, first ballot Hall of Famer, but something's missing in his soul. And MJF is not the guy to fill that void by taking his championship. And he says, if you keep playing games, the physical scars, you know, I can do that, but the mental ones, those are the ones you can't recover from. So tread lightly, as he warns the American Dragon of his next trial against one Timothy Thatcher, certifiable submission technician and badass, as he has a Fujiwara armbar that will make you cry and humble you fast. And it will be Danielson versus Thatcher next Wednesday on Dynamite live from Dayton, Ohio. That should be a technical masterpiece. My only concern is selling by Danielson, which might cut this match into a sell job, but I'm into the action nonetheless. Thatcher is one of the very best in the world at what he does between those ropes. Next up is Toni Storm versus Ruby Soho. This match is very physical. I love the stiff nature of this bout involving some kicks and strikes from both ladies. And it was a very intense battle with Storm catching Soho with a super kick. But Soho fights back with forearms and strikes. But Ruby gets wiped out with Sweet Cheeks music by Storm as we go to a picture-in-picture commercial break. We come back and Soho fights back with a face buster followed by a Sato suplex. Soho goes for Destination Unknown. Toni blocks that and goes for a roll-up, grabbing the tights for a near fall. Soho fights back and lands the No Future kick on Toni for two. She rolls through with a seton, and Storm acts like her nose has been broken once again after what really happened to her at Full Gear a couple of months ago. But it's a trap as Toni Storm is going to fight through, land a wicked hip attack in the corner, followed by a tornado DDT. But before she could go for the win, we hear the music of Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Britt comes out to taunt Toni Storm for reasons unknown. And that allows Ruby to land No Future and knock out Toni Storm for the win. And Ruby does not know how to handle Britt providing the assist, because it's going to come down to the AEW originals versus people that came from WWE or other promotions. And it's going to be a interesting feud, and I've heard the tease online. Let's do blood and guts. I'm intrigued by this. We'll see how it goes. This could be a beautifully told story to get the AEW women's division over in the best possible way, but it's got to make sense, and it's got to be told in a way that really hooks fans. Britt being a babyface is interesting, but she's put in the heel work over the last 3 years for it to make sense at the end of the day, and I'm all for it now, as she will be front and center in the storyline alongside Jamie Hayter, the current AEW Women's World Champion, and that might put their feud on ice for a bit if they're fighting against the WWE outsiders in the form of Saraya and Toni Storm. Ruby Soho does fit that bill as well. She's a rebel right now. We'll see where her true allegiances lie in due time, as we now talk about the very heavy, somber and beautiful main event between Jay Lethal and Mark Briscoe, one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. Excalibur, Caprice Coleman, and Ian Riccaboni were on the call. Jay Lethal was very emotional coming out. Sanjay Dutt was as well. Mark comes out and it's just eerie to see him alone. But I just got chills seeing him hold up both belts, the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, for himself and for Jay, and to still be recognized as one half of those tag team champions. It meant so much in that moment. So beautiful by AEW. And this match was a lovely tribute to Jay Briscoe as Mark put on a show alongside Jay Briscoe as they delivered chops back and forth. They didn't let up. You can tell they wanted more and the fans were eating it up. At one point, we have Briscoe hit a snapmare into a snap drop kick. Lethal goes to fight back, but was planted with a Briscoe net breaker for two. Both men get on the feet and they're fighting on the ring apron now before an exchange until Lethal takes out Mark with a dive on the outside. Lethal keeps Briscoe grounded until Briscoe fights back with a top rope chop. Enziguri sends Lethal into the corner where Briscoe hits a splash and iconoclasm for a near fall. Briscoe goes for the J driller, but Lethal fights out of that for the Lethal combination for a close near fall. Briscoe fights back, goes for a figure four attempt as Lethal responds with a front face suplex followed by the Lethal injection, but Mark wisely rolls out of the ring before getting pinned, and Lethal is going to go for something. But Mark Briscoe is going to recover, land a blockbuster on the floor, and he's going to set Lethal on the table and delivers a froggy bow off the top rope to Jay Lethal through the timekeeper's table. And this leads to some great "this is awesome" chants from the live crowd. Jay Lethal kicks out of two. Back inside the ring, Lethal goes for a bridge out of a J driller attempt for another close near fall. Briscoe is going to respond with the lariat that turns Lethal inside out, lands another lariat followed by the J driller for the 1-2-3, and it's a very emotional moment. Mark talks to the camera, talking to Jay's family, his wife, his kids, shouts out Jay, lets him know he misses his brother, he loves him, and shout out to the entire family as well, as you just see the emotions all over Mark's face. Jay Lethal is also very emotional at this time. The roster is on the main stage paying homage to Jay Lethal. There's a beautiful picture of him on the big screen, and Mark is holding both belts up, proud to be still one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. Him and Lethal share a moment in the ring, and Mark goes up the ramp to meet the talent, hugs up Christopher Daniels and others as Dynamo goes off the air with Mark raising those titles one more time for them boys. And I thought that was so beautiful. And it was a lovely tribute to the late, great Jay Briscoe, who would have been 39 yesterday. And it was a lovely way to end Dynamite on TBS. Great, great tribute to a really good man that gave so much to this industry and to his family and to his community and the friends that knew him best. And I'm glad that Warner Brothers Discovery did the right thing after delaying this for a week, the proper tribute to a man that deserved it the week before, but better late than never. And there's a bigger tribute going down on Honor Club and YouTube paying homage to Jay Briscoe as well that was taped last week in Fresno, California. So a lot more good stuff to come for Jay Briscoe in terms of remembrances and tributes. And with that, I thought this was another really strong episode of Dynamite on TBS. The company's getting hotter, getting ready for Revolution in San Fran in March. It's going to be a hot show. Tickets should perk up a bit as we get closer to the event. San Fran is not the best drawing market for wrestling right now. Ask WWE about not selling out the Chase Center, a beautiful building, but the foot traffic isn't there. Hopefully AEW does a bit better. But I like the focus of the TV to hype up the pay-per-view. Next week is going to be good as well. Just keep it going. And I think they will be back on track regarding a pay-per-view that hits on every single level, built up beautifully with stories that make sense, feuds that are compelling, and in games in clear view, which will set the table for Double or Nothing in May. Is it too soon to think about that? No, because Tony Khan thinks about that with regularity as he books months in advance because he has a vision of what he wants to see in AEW. And I like that. And hopefully everybody's back from injury to really fulfill that vision in the months to come. And on that note, this wraps up episode number 97 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at Lady Wrestling X on Twitter and on Instagram at WrestleTopia. They can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows, the drop of this in my daily recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, and AEW Rampage on TNT, followed by the Sweet and Sessions every Monday morning on WST as well. You know what to do, such WrestleTopia, and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn plus Amazon Alexa and Spotify. I'll be back Saturday morning with episode number 63 of the SmackDown Wind Down / AEW Rampage Late Night Rager. Until then, enjoy your Thursday and your Friday. Stay safe out there and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.